Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program on Hajj Focus. Today our focus is on the walking Hajj. With me in the studio are two guests. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas.
Wa alaikum salam.
And assalamu alaikum to Mawlana Abdul Aziz.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Both guests this evening are experienced walkers, if I can put it to you like that. Before we tackle the Hajj, the walking Hajj issue, Mufti, I'd like you to first explain to us the three different types of Hajj and reasons people will perform one or the other.
There are basically, in fact, only three different types of Hajj, or three types of Hajj. One is called Ifrad. The next one is called Kiram, and the other one is called Tamattu. Now, the definition will run as follows. If a person puts on one Ihram and he performs Hajj alone, then we will classify that as the Hajj of Ifrad. And the person making an Ifrad Hajj is called a Mufrid. The second type of Hajj is Kiram. A person, he adorns the Ihram once, and with one Ihram, he completes his Umrah. He does not come out of that Ihram, and he performs the Hajj. So that means with one Ihram, he performed the Umrah and Hajj. The third type of Hajj is called Tamattu. The person performing the Kiram Hajj is called a Qarin. And the person performing the Tamattu type of Hajj is called Mutamatti. And Tamattu Hajj, the person adorns the Ihram and then he performs the Umrah. After performing the Umrah, he removes his hair, making halak, and then he adorns civil clothing, stays in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And at the 8th of Zilhajj, on the 8th of Zilhajj, he adorns the Umrah, adorns the Ihram now for Hajj. So two Ihrams, one for Umrah, one for Hajj. And I would like to mention that in one of my pamphlets, Al-Hidayah, I have made an error. It's called number one pamphlet, where I said the Ifrad, the person who's making the Ifrad Hajj, Qurbani is wajib upon him. That is not right, that is not correct, that is an error. In Ifrad Hajj, the Qurbani is mustahab. In Kiran Hajj, the Qurbani, the so-called Qurbani, what we call technically the Dham-e-Shukr, is wajib. And in Tamattu, the Dham-e-Shukr is wajib. In Kiran and Tamattu, why the Dham Shukr is wajib? Because we are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the opportunity for making the Umrah and the Hajj. Therefore, we make Dham Shukr. In Ifrad, you only make the Hajj. And we can proceed from there, alhamdulillah.
So the person who's taking the last flight out, he will be performing Ifrad the way I see it.
He can go and perform the Ifrad. He'll have to stay in the Ihram all the time. The person who is going taking the last flight and is going to Makkah al-Mukarramah, he can also perform the Kiran.
Kiran.
Yes.
Okay, so he performs an Umrah and then in Hajj.
Yes. And when he performs the Umrah, he doesn't come out of the Ihram. He stays in the Ihram. It depends how close he is. Generally, most South Africans, we perform the Tamattu type of Hajj.
There seems to be some confusion about the Dhamma Shukr and Qurbani in the Tamattu. Or most of the times, most of the questions you find is people, must I do them? Between the Dham from making an error and Dhamma Shukr.
Oh no, now we've got three Dhams.
Three Dhams. So as the thing you see, that's where the confusion comes. Can you clarify that?
What is Dham Shukr? Now that is when you come out of the Ihram of Kiran Hajj or the Ihram of the Tamattu Hajj. That's the Shukr you're making. And one is Dham as in penalty. you made some error, you made some blunder whilst you were in the state of ihram, so you will have to give a dam. That's a penalty. And one is qurbani. Now qurbani, because we are linked to Indo-Pak subcontinent, so every sacrifice in our eyes is qurbani. So the person who is a sahib and nisab, generally he will be making qurbani when he was in South Africa, and that qurbani he should still make when he is out there in Makkatul Mukarramah. So technically speaking, he will be making two sacrifices. Let us put it that way, sacrifices. One goat for his dam shukr, and one goat as normal his qurbani. And if he made some error and he consulted some alim, it is advisable, very advisable, that if you made some error while you were in ihram, then you must consult a reliable alim, and not anybody who would give you some masla. Consult a reliable alim and he must explain to you, yes, you have to give a dam as in penalty. Then you must sacrifice a goat in the precepts of the haram.
Okay, I once heard that one alim mentioned to me that you shouldn't, you feel maybe I made a mistake, maybe I didn't, let me slaughter a goat for them as in penalty. Now, his explanation was life is sacred. You don't take a life on a maybe.
From the masala point of view and the fiqh point of view, there is no dam for shak. There is no doubtful dam. There is no dam for doubt. So the alim's advice was right. They do not sacrifice or give a dam when you are in doubt. That is why I stress that you go to a reliable, authentic, pious alim there and ask him that I have done this. Does it entail that I must sacrifice, make a dam as a penalty? He will advise you accordingly. But if every doubt you have to give a dam, then your dam will come out, your blood will come out. Dam as in blood. Yes, so we should be cautious as far as sacrifice. Now the sacrifice can be done in Mina, and the sacrifice can be done in Makkatul Mukarramah. What we should realize that whilst we are undertaking the dam as sugar, then the men folk should go and see that their sacrifices have been done, and the women folk should be left in their tents or their hotel and inform later that their sacrifice has been undertaken and done.
Okay, now as excitement builds up in the kingdom, the last flight, the airports close, and your patience run out, and the day of 8th of Zilhajj dawns on you. The day you get up, you perform your Fijr namaz in Mecca. You take your ghusl, you tie your ihram, and you make your intention for Hajj. You move out of your hotel, and it's traffic hustling and bustling. Buses and taxis are hooting. The streets are chock-a-block. All roads round the haram becomes a one-way, like a traffic circle. Roads get blocked. Everything, the whole city of Mecca changes its identity. If you are not clued up, you may not know. You may be planning that we are going to take this road or that road or this, and plan your Hajj. But when the day of 8th of Zilhajj comes, everything changes. Those that are going with buses. A bus cannot take a U-turn on a road. It cannot come back. Once it goes, it enters the circle, because the whole road around the haram becomes a circle, and lots of roads get closed up. If you happen to be, your bus happen to take the wrong road, it will have to go around the entire circle before it comes back. And sometimes this can take 2 to 3 hours, and you can be waiting in front of your hotel. And your nerves will be working on you. Where is the bus? The agent didn't organize the bus. And this is where patience come in. Now the walking Hajj. In the walking Hajj, the concept of buses and transport doesn't enter the equation. Your entire Hajj is done on foot. Mufti, can you describe to us the walking Hajj?
In brief, and inshallah, Maulana Abdul Aziz will add as I go along, the walking Hajj basically, you must understand, and the brothers who have got Virtues of Hajj by Maulana Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali can see, check up the sections on hardships of Hajj, etc. It is under that section wherein Sheikh Sahib has explained the ahadiths and the fazail, the virtues, the boons and favors concerning walking Hajj. Yes, Brother Farooq, if you are there on the 8th of Zil Hajj, you will notice that few hours ago, everyone was walking around in civilian clothing, in kurtas and topis. But after a few hours, the whole of Mecca, as if to say, turns into ihram, goes into white cloth. And everybody is now reading Labbaik, reciting Labbaik. Everybody is excited. And there is a spiritual joy, ecstasy. Everybody is proceeding now and getting ready to go to Mina. Basically, the walking Hajj is more virtuous. Sheikh Sahib has written that for every deed you do, you get 70 million times more reward than a non-walking Hajj. So that will suffice. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, who narrates that his father stated that he would like to make a wasiya in his khandan, that all his khandan, his family members, should make the walking Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he asked Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to call the people for Hajj, and Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on the Maqam Ibrahim and it was elevated right up higher than the Jabal al-Qubais according to one narration, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam gave the call, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded the reply in the Quran Kareem, the call and the reply, that people will come walking. The word walking has been used first, then conveyance. So there is definitely superiority as far as walking, and the Arabs have realized this. That is why they have created such facilities for the walking Hajjis, and over 80% of the world's Hujjaj, they walk. And Hajj, whilst walking, remember, when you are walking the Hajj, you make the Hajj. And when you go with a bus, it's permissible to go with the bus. If you are aged, if you are incapacitated, if you are mazur, or if you want to go with a bus and you are healthy, no problem. You may go with the bus. But when you're going with the bus, then the Hajj is made for you. And when you're going with walking, you make the Hajj. Because Hajj by bus is, they take you from one point to another point. And you have a lot of frustrations, etc. So there are pros and cons of going with the bus. And we are discussing the walking. It's a very simple procedure. You go from Makkah to Mina and via the two tunnels which have been created there. And then from Mina onwards.
Okay, you mentioned the two tunnels. Your first stretch of your walk is Makkah to Mina. Two tunnels, how big and how wide, how long are these tunnels?
Alhamdulillah, these tunnels are quite wide, and on both sides, the tunnels, normally when you walk, they have traffic going one way and coming the other way. But when we start on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, they make the traffic move in one direction. So you've got two tunnels, one on your left, one on your right. Both of them are used to walk in one direction up. When you exit the one set of tunnels, there's a very short space, and you enter another set of tunnels. Also the same way, on the right-hand side you have tunnels, and on the left-hand side. Both of them are used as one-way traffic, we're all walking in one direction. Thereafter there is a very short space again, which thereafter you get into the sheds. So there is
Let's not go to the sheds yet. We speak of this. This the length of this tunnel, Mawana?
The length of the tunnel, first tunnel is about 1.8, and the next one is about 2.6.
Kilometers.
Yes. Okay, now, remember the distance between Makkah al-Mukarrama and Mina, you're looking at 3.9 kilometers.
Okay, 2.6 meters long. What is the width of this tunnel?
You can put about three, four cars inside.
Okay, so it's a four-lane highway in the tunnel.
And in the tunnel itself, since that you really want to know, they have got what you call blowers. I don't know what is the technical word for it, extractors, with the air extractors. So it's absolutely like air conditioned when you go inside.
Okay, yeah. I'd like you to stress on that one, on the air conditioning.
Air conditioners are so powerful, when you enter the tunnel itself, the security will tell you to close your umbrella. Because they say the umbrella will serve as a parachute, it will pick you up. And just to examine what it can do is take an empty water bottle, etc., and throw it up, it will not come down, it will hang onto the propeller. That is how powerful it is. Like how when you get into the aeroplane, at the airport you hear the buzzing sound, that's the sound you hear. And from my experience previously, you do not walk in the tunnel, you are blown through the tunnel. Yeah. Your pacing becomes automatically fast because of the speed of the wind that blows in there.
So the heat is not the problem in The space is not the problem.
Generally, if you have a good Amir, he will take you into those tunnels early. And he will take you into those tunnels maybe when no one is there, so you can coordinate yourself. However, if you want to, first of all, I must say this, that when you decide to walk, then you should join a group. And not necessarily our group or anything, but join a group which has got an alim on there, and join a group which has got an experienced person who has done the walking hajj previously, and also who has got the welfare of the haji, that you inshallah will care for him and not lose him.
I see you stressing it. Okay, we spoke about the tunnels now. In between we have a empty space, yes, after the first set of tunnels, and then before you enter the second set of tunnels, the same kind of setup. How long? The second set you said is 2.6. 1.6. What is the total walk that you take in this one day from Makkah to Mina?
You are looking at about, because remember our tents, the South African tents are near the Jamarat. Now when you're walking from Makkah, you will come to the big shaitan first, then the middle one, then the small one.
This is the shed that you were talking
no,
about.
No,
not shed. You mentioned the shed before we. Where does the shed fit?
The shed comes in after the two tunnels. You walk in an open space. A little open
let's
space.
Let's describe this because I want the listeners to visualize.
You walk over. Basically, you are walking over the suburb of Azizia. This walk. You walk a little bit over the suburb of Azizia and you come into sheds. And you walk and take a right turn after that. If you take a left turn, you're going back into Alesia. This shed, if you have to look at it from the sky, is L-shaped. If you look at it from the sky. So that you, when you're walking down, you are going to walk on the short portion of the L. And as soon as you take your right turn, you are now walking on the long portion of the L. And after you complete the shed, the Jamarat is right there. Now, just before the Jamarat, you'll see a board, a signboard.
From the L-shaped shed, the Jamarat is visible as soon as you take the right turn. And when you walk through the shed, it's not very long distance. And automatically, when you come out, you will see the military standing, etc., trying to guide the Hajis where they should go. They shouldn't enter onto the Jamarat platform, or they should not stay or camp at the platform. There is a slight slope as well, where you can see the upper portion of the Jamarat. And near the big Jamarat, there is a sort of a place of ziyarat, which Mufti Sahib will explain us also now.
Near the big Jamarat, on the left-hand side, you'll see there's a small masjid being constructed. It's there, the masjid, but I have heard that they are going to put a huge masjid, something like Masjid al-Khayf there. That is the Valley of Aqaba. That is the Valley of Aqaba. One of the advantages of walking is that you see all historical sites and you are able to, inshallah, visualize, or you are able to know that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was here, and this was the Valley of Aqaba wherein the two pledges took place. So to demarcate where actually the pledges took place, they have put a small masjid up there. It's on the left hand side. Inshallah, in the near future, they are going to put a huge masjid there. So when you, our South African tent is about 150 meters to the left-hand side of the small Jamarat. Between the small Jamarat and the middle Jamarat is about 116 meters. And between the middle Jamarat and the big Jamarat is about 165 meters.
Are we walking all the distance? Because I'm busy adding up all the distances as you're...
Yes. And then, inshallah, you go to your tents there. And once you go to your tents, you must have landmarks, that this is where my tent is. This is irrespective of whether you are going by bus or whether you are walking. You must have landmarks. As a haji, when you perhaps get down, then you are just pushed into your tent. But you must have landmarks so that you don't get lost when you come out of your tent.
Okay, it all seems to be a question of planning. I've calculated the distances to be 4.4 to 5, and I think we can round it off to 5 kilometers.
You see, maybe I've got the second tunnel wrong, or the other thing is, remember that we are talking border to border. when they give us this measurement.
Yes.
You know, 4 kilometers. We are that not talking about the, what you call, inside walk into Mina. For example, from where we are in Mina, the mosques are 10. From there to the border of Muzdalifa is 3 kilometers, 2.5 to 3 kilometers. So when we calculate, like for example, later on I will mention to you about the distance between Mina and Arafat, we say 9 kilometers, but actually it is not 9.
Okay, let's come to that later on, because I want to get the distances correct from start. So if we say 5 kilometers, I think we're playing it safe from Makkah to Medina.
Okay, no problem.
From Makkah to Mina.
Right to your tent.
Right to your tent.
Yes.
So your first walking 5 kilometers, and I'm sure most South Africans can manage that.
And
what is
the what you must know? First of all, before Molana tells you about the facilities there, that try to rest after every 1.5-2 hours. When you are walking, that after 1.5-2 hours, and try to cover 1 kilometer in about 15 minutes. So that means you are not running, you are not pacing, you are not speeding, you are not rushing, you are walking comfortably. So you should, last year, where we started, we left Makkah al-Mukarramah at 4 o'clock. We were at about 7:30, we were at our tent.
So you leave at 4 o'clock and where is Fajr performed?
We perform, remember, the whole of Makkah is the Haram. The whole of Makkah is the Haram. And one is the Masjid al-Haram. So we perform, as soon as we come into the sheds, which Maulana spoke about, that is still in Makkah. So we perform our Fajr day.
So you start your walk and you perform your Fajr during your walk.
Yes, during the walk.
So this is the...
Why we do that? Because it is cool. And it is not hot. And to take 300, 400 South Africans in the tunnel alone is better. There is no anxiety. There is no what you call hustle, bustle, pushing. Or there is no one getting excited. There is so much crowd.
Okay, I see your strategy. So you walk. And just before the Mina border, you're still in Makkah. You and your group perform the Fajr Salah.
Yes.
While the rest of the crowd is still in Makkah.
Yes.
Waiting to perform Fajr Salah in the Haramain. And then they leave. You have a lead start.
Yes, the lead start is psychological also. Because we are taking the Hajis through a tent, through a tunnel which is empty. So when they see the million people later, then they realize that there are a million people around us. But if you have to take them with the crowd, it's going to become a little bit sort of an excitement for them.
Okay, I'm excited, Chen. I wish I could join you on this walking Hajj, Mufti.
Sure. And Maulana will tell us about the activity, the facilities.
Okay, Maulana, can you elaborate on the facilities, please?
Alhamdulillah, as you enter into Mina, you may get a sahuk, someone to help you from the sahuk crowd, or you may get someone from the muassa to help you, and they will show you that you've got to go to this camp, etc., and you go and stay there. In Mina itself, there are plenty of facilities. Water, toilet, cold water, ice blocks.
Well, before you touch on Mina, during the walk, while you're walking in the tunnel, the gap between the tunnel, in the shed, can we go through the facilities while I'm walking?
The facilities they have, just outside the tunnel, etc., people are giving out their fruit juices for free, people are giving out fruits for free, people are selling, there are trucks standing on the side, people are giving out charity, they give out milk, yogurt, water, juices, whatever you desire is being given out. Or if you wish to spend, you can buy as well. And because normally we are the first crowd that moves through the tunnel, etc., the people are still sleeping. And when they hear the people reading the labbaik, they come out quickly and open the freezers, open the trucks, etc., and they start dishing out. Toilet facilities are there. You get shower facilities as well, and you get clinics as well.
The walking road, Brother Farooq, let me just comment on the whole entire walking road. On the entire walking road, every 100 meters on both sides of the road, there are sometimes 4, 6, and sometimes 8 water sprouts. Meaning you press a button and cold, ice cold water comes out. That is one. And also, when I say 100 meters, I mean on one side of the road. On the other side of the road, you can cross over, and every 50 meters you will get also walking water facilities. You have also every 200 meters or so toilet and shower facilities on the walking road. Thirdly, there is no bus, no truck, no vehicle, no scooter on the walking road. Fourthly, there is clinics on the walking road. If someone has to fall sick per chance, there are clinics on the walking road. And also on the walking road, there is ample, enough, sufficient food vendors. You can stop, have tea, coffee, drinks, etc. on that walking road. This is on the entire walking road map, meaning from Mecca to Mina, Mina to Arafat, Arafat to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah back to Mina, Mina to Mecca again.
Okay, your first day, the 8th of Zilhajj, you've walked, you're tired, you reach your base camp. And that day, what kind of ibadah takes place? You take 5 hours to walk, you've still got, it's about Zuhr time when the walkers reach. When do you reach?
You reach Mina plus minus by 7-8 o'clock.
That early?
That early.
So you have the whole day of the 8th of Zilhajj. Can you...
Out of experience, because we have been walking for the last 4-5 years, that before even the first bus arrives at the tent in Mina, we are there.
Okay, this is...
The statement Mustafa mentioned is those buses that leave on the 8th of Zilhijjah from Makkah. Those that leave the night before, they are not considered as those that are there already. So some of the Hajjis leave the night before to get the space in Mina, etc.
So we are there long before anyone else officially arrives. So what the question was, what do we do in Mina? Mina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that we make our 5 salat there. So basically in Mina, after you have been allocated your tent, and the Sahu members will be there to help one to get your tent, etc. So you will go into your tent and make sure that you perform your salat. The responsibility of a haji on that day is he must perform 5 salat in Mina. That means the Zuhr, the Asr, the Maghrib, the Isha, and the Fajr. Because after Fajr, inshallah, he will be proceeding to Arafat. And in the interim, he should read Quran, read his Talbiyah a lot, make zikr, avoid gossip, slander, backbiting.
I see. Because you do have a lot of free time having read so early, so one can perform plenty in the field about it.
But yes, he can do, alhamdulillah, recite his Quran, make his zikr, make dua, and also rest comfortably. Because, remember, this first walk is not a tiring walk at all. Because you are going there, alhamdulillah, the facilities are good, the walk is nice, it's cool, there's no heat, nothing.
Okay. This is your program, listeners. The number to call is 854-6854. If you've got any questions relating to Hajj, we will now go for a break, and when we come back, we will take all calls.
Orient Travel and Tours has pleasure in announcing special Hajj flights by Yemenia Yemen Airways. Flights depart every Saturday and Sunday. Return flights guaranteed from 20th to 25th March. Limited seats available, so book early to avoid disappointment. Call Orient Travel or Putis Travel on 830-030. That's 830-030. Office hours and after hours, 852-2789 or 854-3438. Obtain your free medical pack from Amalgamated Pharmaceuticals at 50 Parik Street, Amalgam. And don't forget to please bring along your tickets. For further information, you can phone them on 830-0046. That's 830-0046.
Paying Faith, your friendly fabric store, invites you to view their fabulous collection of evening and bridal wear for that special occasion. Embroidered laces, guipure laces, and a superb range of plain and floral fabrics in store at the best possible prices. Remember, for all your fabric and haberdashery, come to Pay and Save, your fashion fabric store. Visit us today for service with a smile, latest fashion and elegance. That's Pay and Save. Contact us on 852-4910. That's right, 852-4910. Your partner in fashion. That's Pay and Save.
That's it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our second session of Hajj Focus. If you've just tuned in, our focus is on the walking Hajj day. A sister called in before I take a call. The phone number to call listeners is 854-6854, and we will listen to any questions regarding Hajj. A sister called in and wanted to know why South African Hajjis have to walk separately from other Hajjis. Aren't all Hajjis supposed to be united in their aim?
The walk that I am describing to you concerns how I do it, and this is my method. And if a South African Haji wants to leave after Fajr Salat, he is fully entitled to do so, and he'll be rewarded if he does so. He makes his Fajr in the Haram and then leaves. He can leave with all the other Hajis. I generally leave because I have a very huge crowd with me, over 300 to 500 people, so I prefer to go a little bit earlier.
Call normally at home with Qurban.
Yes.
Right. Now, what happens if a person does not make that Qurbani which he was supposed to make at home?
What do you mean? He
only makes Dhamme Shukriya. He only sacrifices one animal.
And at home, did he leave instructions?
No, he left no instructions at home.
Then he must, if he's a Musafir.
Yeah.
If he's a Musafir, then the Qurbani is not wajib upon him.
Right.
If he's a Muqim.
Yeah.
Then Qurbani is wajib upon him.
A person becomes a Muqim after 14 days.
Yes.
Right? So what happens if he was there 7 weeks already?
Then he's a Muqim, then he, inshallah, should make the other Qurbani also.
And if he did not make it?
Prior. Then, what do you call, he should give out that money in Sadaqah.
One more question, Muqtisar. Normally, a lot of people, because of the congestion in Mecca, when you come back for Tawaf Ziyarah, we hear that a lot of people perform Sa'i before they leave to Mina the first day.
Yes,
that is, they make a Nafil Tawaf and then they make Sa'i of Hajj, which is they make the niyat of Tawaf Ziyarah. Is that in order?
Yes, that is in order. Remember, the 8th of Zilhad starts from midnight.
Okay.
So what he does, he puts on the ihram.
Okay.
He goes to the masjid, he makes a nafil tawaf.
Okay.
And follows the nafil tawaf, he makes the Safa Marwa Sa'i.
Okay.
And when he comes for tawaf and ziyarah, then he does not have to make the Safa Marwa Sa'i, he just makes tawaf and ziyarah, that going around the Kaaba. That is permissible. But out of experience, I will state that on the 8th of Zilhajj, it is very congested. So you rather leave it, and when you come from pelting the shaitan and making your Dhamme Shukr, and then you took off your hair, you made your halak,
okay,
you put on your civilian clothing, then go and make tawaf ziyarah. I will suggest 11 o'clock in the night.
Okay.
And inshallah, after that, you can make your sa'i. Remember the sa'i. While I'm on there, I'll explain the masla. You can make 2 rounds and go and rest. After another hour or so, go and make another 2 rounds.
Okay.
Then rest again. Then go and make the 3 rounds. Inshallah, that will be done.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Brother Ahmed. Mufti, the number to call the listeners is 854-6854 if you have any questions regarding Hajj. This is your call-in program. 854-6854. We were describing that the Hujjaj spell the Shaitan, and you leave them now on their own. They travel to Mecca. They travel back to Mecca. They perform the Tawaf Ziyarah and the Sahi, and they come back in civilian clothes.
Yeah.
That walk, yeah, that that you perform on your own, in a group. Describe the distances, and is it the same route or?
It's exactly the same route. It's now backtracking. You bring back the same, very same road, and you'll become so accustomed. While you are walking, obviously you are going to be walking with your family and friends. So you are not going to be walking alone. You are going to have now your small group. Out of the 300-500 walking with us, then you become friends. You are walking now with 20, you are walking with 10. You are walking with 15. So after pelting shaitan and making your Dhamme Shukr and coming out of Ihram, then you come slowly away to Makkah. There is no rush. Remember, in the entire walking procedure, there is no rush. Arafat is not going to move away, inshallah. Muzdalifah is not going to move away. and Mina is not going to move away. So you go at a nice, slow pace and reach your destination.
So you can't give time here because everyone rests differently.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, Brother Nazir, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam. I have a question for Mufti Sahab.
Sure.
Mufti Sahab, my question is regarding where a person should go first.
Now, Nazir, can you speak a little louder, please?
If I plan to go for Hajj like this week, and I intend to go to Makkah first, is there anything wrong with going to Makkah first, getting my accommodation there after going to Medina and coming back to Makkah?
It is absolutely permissible to go to Makkah first and then go to Madinatul Munawwarah. So you have got a choice. You can either go to Madinatul Munawwarah and then come to Makkah, or as how you want to do it, you go to Makkah, Makkatul Mukarramah, and then inshallah proceed to Madinah. That is permissible also.
Thank you for your call, Nazir. Okay, Mufti Sahab, let's talk about preparations for this walking Hajj now. What will I take? What won't I take? What is excessive? What is not excessive, Moana?
See, when you're going for the walking Hajj, remember that you should not carry a lot of things that is unnecessary. Take your Haji mat with you. Your Haji mat, like explained previously, it's something that is multi-purpose. You can read Salah on it, you sleep on it, you eat on it, you do everything on your Haji mat. So it's something very valuable and very cheap as well. You buy it in the days prior to Hajj, it is cheaper, and when you buy it the day before Hajj or on the day when you are walking, the prices go up. And when you're returning from Arafat, the prices come down as well. So you can save a few riyals if you wish. And then take a bottle, normally you keep a small bottle of water with you, etc. And a few packets of biscuits, sweets, or something you like. Normally the Saracens like to take chevrawat or some homemade delicacies, etc. Some people like to take the biltong with, etc. Carry your tasbih with you, not forgetting when your tasbih is on your fingers, you can do the ibadat of Allah Rabbul Izzat. It reminds you that you've got a tasbih in your hand, and you can read the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And have some type of a bag which you can carry on your back, as not to burden your hands or your shoulders. It makes it easier if you have something on your back, like a school bag or something. And very lightly you go across. And when you come into Mina, there are shops that sell everything again. Do not buy a lot of fruit, etc. in Makkah, and carry that with you to Mina. Although it may be a few riyals extra in Mina, you can, it is obtainable in Mina. You buy it in Mina, and when you're walking to Arafat, you can have it there. Fruits are available, food is available, tea is available, all soft drinks, food, everything is available in Mina. So do not overload your bag with food stuff, because everything is available in Mina. And if you forgot something, for example a pillow, or you need some sponge or something to rest on, that is also available in Mina. So in Mina, it's like a small Makkah town where the hawkers move along with you to Mina. And when you're moving from Mina to Arafat, they move along with you also on the road. So everything is available on the road.
Also, what Munada was referring to, they take a bag. What we generally call a backpack is referred to as a backpack. You take that and you put your haji mat, etc. inside there. Take some medication. Now, there are medication two types. One is general medication, and one is specific medication. If you are a patient, high blood pressure patient or sugar diabetes patient, so that you'll take your special medication along with. You will take also the backpack which has got a thick strap. Don't take a backpack which has got a thin strap. The thin strap is going to cut your shoulders. If you think your sandals are going to break, take an extra pair. However, also remember, do not take your whole library and go there. Many people take so many books, they don't know what to read after that in Arafat. And remember, the lighter you are for the walking Hajj, the easier. Because as you go along, your backpack becomes more heavier. Try and take a toilet roll. And also, just prior to the days of Hajj, you must change some money. Make them into riyals. Don't take 100 riyal note and go to Mina and Arafat. Take your 100 riyal note or 50 riyal note and make them into fives and tens, so that you are able to transact easily in Mina and in Arafat. So change your money prior to Hajj. And also, when you are doing the walking Hajj, then 50 riyals minimum you can take. If you take 100 riyals, that is sufficient. Inshallah, you should be able to make the walking Hajj comfortably and spend about 100 riyals on yourself. Because you are there, when you want a drink, you go and buy it, purchase it and drink it. You want something to eat,
you'll buy it and purchase it and eat it. And also, the umbrellas, the men should take the big umbrella so they can use it as a walking stick. The females generally prefer a small umbrella. Your haji mat, and take an extra bed sheet. The bed sheet, why? Because in Muzdalifah. This advice I give to the walking hajis and also those who are going for the bus. Because in Muzdalifah last year, most of us got up because of the cold. We were awoken of the cold. So this year I expect it to be more cold in Muzdalifah. So irrespective of whether you are walking or going with a bus, you take some bed sheets so that you can cover yourself up in Muzdalifah properly. And also the ladies, they should take extra underwear. They do not have to take a whole new set of clothing or etc. Extra underwear will be good. Also, take some toilet roll. Most important, whether you are going by bus or whether you are walking, you must take loads of sabr and go, loads of patience, so that you do not become angry and cross with anybody, and no one, inshallah, will try to do anything against you. Once you take some sabr, take a lot of sabr, inshallah, so Allah Ta'ala will make it easy.
The number to call if you've got any questions regarding what Mufti Saab is saying on Hajj is 854-6854.
854-6854. I can add one point here, because we are talking about one walk. There are two very interesting walks here. What is the walk into Muzdalifah? From Muzdalifah into the other end of Muzdalifah. There you more or less walk in a single file. And this is like a miracle walk. I call it like a miracle walk because to take 300, 400 people across from one end of Muzdalifah right to the other end in a single file, not disturbing anybody and reaching there, that is what you should be in for. The other one is from Muzdalifah to Mina. Remember, from Muzdalifah to Mina, all the walking roads, they come together. They come together, and because they come together, all the walkers come together. So there is congestion. That one is very slow walking. So you walk very, very slowly. You walk slowly from Muzdalifah into Mina. So you must have a lot of patience, take a lot of water, and do not forget, while you are going for the Hajj, whether it's by bus or walking, take some money bags, so that you can put your pebbles inside there. That the pebbles that you pick up in Muzdalifah, you can put them into those money bags and secure them while you are walking or in the bus.
Okay, very exciting, this walking Hajj, Mufti. When they come back on the well, if they get my days right, Mufti Saab, because I'm not quick for Hajj, I don't have my days all lined up.
She makes dua, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take all of us for Hajj.
Ameen. When we come back to Mina now in civilian clothes, we felt all on the 10th and 11th, we felt all three jamarats. Again, you leave all your walkers at their discretion, but what advice?
What happens here with our walkers? Because we are such a large group, we are 300 to 500, so they allow us to have our tent of our own. So in Mina, we have a tent of our own. As a result, after every salat, we give instructions. We have our own mic systems, we have our banners, we have our flags, we have our own infrastructure. We just do not walk haphazardly. So we have, after every salat, because all the walkers who come with us, they are in one tent. So if you got a walking group large enough, then you can have your own tent also. In our group, after every salat, we instruct the walkers what to do now in Mina, and also bayans are given, lectures are given.
So you are accessible during the 10th, 11th, 12th?
Not accessible, we are in the tent. We are advising the hajis what to do. We are listening to their grievances. We are addressing their problems. We are answering their questions. Plus, we are giving them the ulama with us who deliver lectures there in Mina for us, and they advise the hajis and spiritually enlighten them with their talks.
Okay, when I had a chat to you a day or two ago, you mentioned to me that you were printing cards for every walker who was in your group, and you had napkin pins with color-coded Hujjaj. Can you explain that to the Hujjaj to see there is control and there is not a haphazard walk where everything is planned to the finer points?
So because we are experienced in this walking hajj, so we do it so-called professionally. Because we divide the groups in 50, we have banners, we have flags. Every member that walks with me is given a card so that he enters our tent in Mina and Arafat. And every person who walks with us, he is given a ribbon. And we change the ribbons all the time every year. And the ribbons, the Hujjaj put it on neon ribbons so that they can identify each other. So it is done nicely, professionally. We have people walking right in the back of the whole Hajj group, which we term as sweepers. If anybody lags behind, they bring them along. And if anybody stops, I have got a general policy that to stop. These cards, etc., we issue to those who are walking so that we have some sort of organization. But presently, many people are inquiring that they would like to listen to us in Mecca or they'd like to meet us in Mecca. So on the first of Zil Hajj, after Asr, at a hotel called Al Makam, which is behind the King's Palace, near Aziz Kohir side, I will be giving the first bayan there. After Asr, first of Zil Hajj, at Al Makam, I will be giving the first bayan. Inshallah, the brothers who would like to meet us, it's not necessary that you must join our group for walking. That is not necessary. You can join any group. If you want to walk, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you.
Or you can make your own walking group.
I would love that. You must make your own walking group. We will advise you all the way how to do it, what to do, how to organize yourself, everything, inshallah.
Okay, our time is almost up. Before we terminate this program, any words, final words of advice, Mufti?
Few words before Maulana also speaks, and then inshallah I'll try to conclude, that there are some errors generally made at every Hajj. One is, for example, when we go to the airports, then the females, they begin to embrace, hug and kiss ghair mihrams. So before going for Hajj, unfortunately, hugging, embracing and kissing of ghair mihrams is taking place, and we are going on a righteous, pious journey to fulfill Hajj. Then another error is made in Arafat. And in Arafat, after making dua, then the ladies begin to hug their husbands, etc. Now, you must remember that you are in the state of Ihram. You're not supposed to be hugging. And some of them, unfortunately, hug their mihrams, strange men also. That is absolutely wrong. Then on return, when you come back as a haji, then you begin to hug again their mihrams. And very sad, I've heard of this too, that South Africans, they keep beards while they are in Makkah and Medina, alhamdulillah. And so sad that I hear when we come, they say things like, I'm waiting for the 5 days to be over so that I can take my beard out. So this is very sad.
And when ladies come out of Ihram, the hair has to be cut. I find that you find the Indian, the people around the barbershop, and people around at Safa Marwa at the one end training with their scissors.
Yes.
Now, for the females, they want to come and cut your hair. That is not permissible, the way I understand it. They are your hair mihram.
Hair mihrams must not cut. There too, you must not go to those people who are standing there with the scissors, because they do not know the laws of halak and they do not know the laws of kasar. And unfortunately, they are going to spoil your halak, and they are not going to take you out of Ihram. The other thing, do not take your jewelry whilst making tawaf, and do not take your jewelry when you're going for the 5 days. And especially, don't take your jewelry whilst going to stone the Jamarat, otherwise you're going to donate it there. Leave the jewelry in some custody, safe custody in Makkah al-Mukarramah, etc. And as a rule, that do not take jewelry to Makkah, etc. But we see this that we hear complaints that my jewelry got lost, jewelry got lost. Why? Because they took it at the wrong places. Also, be careful in the condition of Ihram. Do not utilize soap which has got fragrance, because that will be tantamount to applying perfume on the body, and that will eventually lead a person to, he has to give dam, etc. These are a few things. Also, many times whilst going to toilet in Mina, there is a general tendency of air freshener being utilized. Although it is permissible to smell something sweet, but maybe that air freshener comes onto the body, then you are utilizing perfume, and that is going to be liable for dam, etc. So a person should be extremely cautious regarding those matters.
Mulana, your...
Regarding the walking hajj, once someone asked in the group of Mufisab that, Mufisab, you said that an accepted hajj is that hajj where difficulties are encountered. But we did not experience any difficulty in the walking hajj, so how will our hajj be accepted? Mufisab giving such a lovely reply, he said that for the South African, just the mere sun falling on the head is a difficulty for him. Because in South Africa, we are so spoiled that we never walk out. Everywhere, whatever we do, we sit in the car and we do everything in the car. So, just from that example, we can see how easy the walking hajj was for both these.
One parting advice here to all the listeners out there, and especially the female listeners, that alhamdulillah, when you are phoning, please, when you are phoning home, then please make it a point that call for my family members to talk to you. That as a rule, generally, I do not address and talk to women, because the woman who can speak to my wife, she'll understand your problems better, and she'll be able to discuss your problems far better than I can do. So it is advisable that when you phone home, etc., phone and ask for my wife and talk to her. And those who are intending to go for Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and accept it, and begin to read at least 2 rakats nafil salat daily, if not after every faras salat, then Ya Allah, make it easy for me and accept it from me. Because when we pray to Allah to make it easy, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy. And remember that we are going to the blessed lands of Madinatul Munawwara, Makkatul Mukarrama. We should behave ourselves. Unfortunately, of late, especially with the last Umrah trips, etc., numerous incidents have been recorded wherein South Africans are not behaving well, meaning there is loose behavior, immoral behavior, immodest behavior. So we should abstain from all this and should not try to linger at the lobbies or discuss futile activities. Do not waste our time in vain discussions, etc. There is no benefit in that. Go to the Arabs, make tawaf, go to the Haram of Medina, recite Durood Sharif in abundance, value your time, value your money that you are spending, and on coming back, maintain regular salat. Regular salat after becoming a haji is a sign of an accepted hajj, ulama ikram have written. So a person should appreciate the places he's going to, try to read a biography of Nabi Akram's sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the history of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also about Makkatul Mukarramah. Listen to the various Hajj lessons which have been given over Radio Islam. And a person must go there as a clever, intelligent Haji, not to waste his time. And once he values his time, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually enlightens him, spiritually boosts him, and he's able to come back as a better person.
JazakAllah Mufti. Well, listeners, we've come to the end of our time. Remember, Mufti will be in Makkah at Al-Maqam, Al-Maqam on the 1st of Zilhajj. After Asr, he will be giving a bayan. The Al-Maqam is near Kogir, opposite the King's Palace.
Behind the King's Palace.
Behind the King's Palace. You can meet him there, where he will be giving a bayan, and you can meet everyone who is involved in the walking Hajj. I have been interviewing Yemen Airlines and a number of other agents. We have another Hajj focus program this Thursday. Please stay tuned or tune in on the same radio station, Radio Islam, on the coming Thursday for another Hajj focus. And our focus will be on Yemen Airlines and interviews with all agents who's involved in the Hajj business. From me, Farooq Hussain, and my host, Mufti Sab Ilyas, Mufti Ilyas, and Rona Abdul Aziz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.